Our Old Testament reading comes from Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
We'll continue with hymn number 715. For the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 35th verse. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, he took with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but there are days that I'm just not sure that there is much that this old world can take. The pace and the ferocity of events seem to be outrageous and have picked up to the point that one isn't off the front page before another comes along to replace it. And even after a story leaves the headlines, the effects of it are still working their way through the system. In a good news, bad news way, I was glad to hear the report at the district convention this week from Sherry Strand, the Synod's legal counsel, that opened with roughly that point. To her, there has never been anything approaching the number of cases that they are tracking and handling. And maybe more important for Ms. Strand, added that the corners of the law that are being invoked are not well trod. Combined with odd legal theories, she observed, were the number of judges who were willing to entertain them. Whereas even 15 years ago, some cases might be brought but immediately tossed on simple motions. Today, they get moved to trial. And on top of that sound and fury, you have seemingly random death. There's nothing quite like unexpected death to swamp us. Whether it's a random racist walking into a church to kill people, or, as Rita experienced, the death of a one-year-old great-granddaughter. 2 weeks ago, healthy. Our gospel text today, I think, speaks to us about such times. And there are three things that I want to pull out from the text itself. The first is just the setting. Jesus has been teaching the crowds on that familiar banks of the Galilee. Call it the safe banks, call it Capernaum, home. But he's dismissing the crowds, and he turns to the disciples already in the boat, and he says, "Let's go to the other side." That other side is Gentile. That other side is unknown. So much so that when they land, the immediate story afterwards is the Gerasene demoniac. The story about the man who bursts iron fetters and lives in the tomb and is filled with legion. And Jesus sends that legion into the pigs that run off like lemmings of the cliff. That other side, filled with escalations and things out of control and random death. Instead of skimming around the known edges, what a safe fisherman would have done, Jesus must have pointed straight across, headed out into the deep water, away from the sight of the shore. And in a wonderful note that Mark captures, and other boats were with him. It's not just this one boat that has Jesus in it, but there are lots of little boats that have cast their lot with Jesus. The second thing that I want to pull out is the difference between the addresses of the apostles or the disciples. When the disciples are swamped and the water is filling the boat faster than they can handle it, and they just can't take one more thing, it's a little dramatic, but I love that artist's picture on the bulletin cover today of this one guy with his arms wrapped around that main mast. Like, that piece isn't going down as well. But that's often what we do. We wrap ourselves around things that don't save. Those disciples at that point call Jesus teacher. Jesus in the midst of sleeping. And notice what they ask. They don't ask him for a miracle. They just ask him, "Do you care that we are dying?" Compare that simple address, teacher, with their final question. Who then is this? And the last element that I want to pull out of the text is Jesus' question between those two statements of the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And I want to heighten one of those words, so afraid. To me, doesn't really capture the moment or the word that is used. It's more like, why are you so cowardly? The intent and the purpose was not to cast judgment on the fact of the fear itself. The waves were swamping the boat. The word is more about the response. Courage is the virtue that allows one to stand in the midst of trouble. Cowardly is about abandoning the post just when what you are there for is called for. So, picking up those disciples' words, first they ascribe teacher to Jesus. And this is just completely an inadequate title for it. I don't want to slight teachers. They can often be the most important people in our lives. And our parents are often called our first teachers. But there are dimensions that are missing. There are usually other teachers as we get older. And we can mix and match them and rely on specialties. This one for math and that one for literature. Or maybe, as it's more used in this text, one for Aristotle's virtues and the other for Plato's metaphysics. And we typically do the choosing of our teachers. Or at least we have veto power. That teacher here is a mental word. When at the end, they are asking, who then is this? What they are recognizing is that Jesus is not limited to that mental world. The wind and the waves obey him. And if the wind and the waves obey him, what do we call him? There's actually something that could have been on their minds at just such a moment. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 opens with the familiar refrain, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love, his chesed, endures forever." But listen to these verses from this hymn of Israel. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Who then is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Israel's answer is the Lord. And not just any Lord, but the Lord. The Lord of Chesed, of covenant faithfulness, of steadfast love. The Lord who commanded the wind and lifted the waves so that we might see his mighty arm, that we might have faith in his steadfast love. Knowing who controls the wind and the waves, the Lord. And knowing his stance towards us, steadfast love revealed on that cross. He might appear to be sleeping, but don't be fooled. Turning to Jesus' response, we find what Jesus is looking for in his disciples. And the foundation of everything is faith. And it's not a blind faith, as a great Lenten hymn puts it, proofs I see sufficient of it. The proofs are right here today. And I'm going to point you at two forms. The first are those sure, safe harbors of word and sacrament. The Holy Spirit spoke by the prophets. He rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. God has revealed himself in history and continues to give us that revelation in those scriptures. He also continues to give himself to us in the sacraments. This is the body and blood of Christ. Christ took our baptism on that cross such that we might receive his. Baptized into death so that we might also receive his resurrection. The word and the sacraments are very real elements of that chesed, that love and faithfulness of God. The second form is also here today. Each and every one of us has a witness. This is the body of Christ. And each one of us can tell a story about when we were forced to blurt out something like the disciples, "Who is this one?" I always liked Jacob's line after his ladder experience, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it." But there are other biblical phrases as models, and you might have your own phrase for that. But I'll bet we've all had that moment, and maybe several, when the word has become incredibly real to us. We all have our witness to how the Lord woke up and calmed the storm. Proofs I see sufficient of it. And what we are called to be is not cowardly, but courageous. This is the Lord the Alpha and the Omega, the one who descended into hell to brag in front of Satan and bring his own out. This is the one who ascended to the right hand of God, the one who holds the stars in his hands and was there at their creation. This is the one who has saved you and blessed you with his steadfast love. This is the Lord. Why be cowardly? The worst they can do is send you to be with Christ. The call for each one of us is to develop courage in faith. To hear that call to go to the other side, knowing that the Lord is with us. Yes, it is a tempestuous sea, but the Lord is with us. Nowhere near as sleepy as he might appear. He's taken you, and he's taken this little fleet of boats out there so that we can know just who is with us and that we can develop that courage to stand. And that is the witness that this world gone mad so desperately needs. The courageous voice of the body of Christ. Does he care that people are dying? Yes. And he sent us to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. One last point. There is one far shore that we will all set sail for. Nobody can avoid it. And we've either spent our lives sailing with Jesus, coming to know who this is and his love for us, or we set out on that voyage alone. We might wish for calm seas all our days, but it's in the midst of those swells that we hear his be quiet. It's when the wind blows fiercest that we learn to lean on him. And that is preparation for the final voyage to that far shore. We've come to trust that he isn't sleeping and that he's said, be quiet to that last enemy, death. In the resurrection, all things have been put under his feet. And the chaos of those waters has been stilled. And he's done this for you. He's gone to prepare a place for you. His steadfast love endures forever for you. We trust not just in a teacher, but the Lord, who occasionally sends us into the storm, who sometimes sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies, so that we might know they have no lasting power over us. Amen.